You mentioned the trial looking at carboplatin, and bevacizumab. Right now, how are you incorporating bevacizumab in your non-protocol decision-making?
In the non-protocol setting, if I have a patient who meets ECOG 4599 criteria for bevacizumab, I certainly at least discuss the possibility of treatment incorporating the drug. In general, the reimbursement issues that we saw right after the ASCO presentation of 4599 have become less of an issue, and once FDA approval is final, then it should go away completely. But certainly, patients who have hemoptysis, I would not treat with bevacizumab, and I would be very cautious about going outside the criteria that were used for entry in 4599 outside of a protocol setting.
When you take that approach and you counsel patients, what do you tell them about the risk of hemoptysis with this approach?
I explained to all patients that there is a risk of hemoptysis, and in both our trial and in ECOG 4599, where non-squamous lung cancer patients are treated, there is about a 1% risk of hemoptysis, and it's typically, I think, fatal hemoptysis when it occurs. So patients need to know about that. But I also explained to them that even with that happening, the overall effects on outcomes are positive, so we still recommend going forward with the drug.
Sometimes it's hard to look at a trial and you see some numbers in terms of what it really means in terms of patient benefits. What have you observed when you yourself have added bevacizumab, both in the trial you're talking about as well as a non-trial setting? Do you think that you're seeing greater anti-tumor effect?
Yeah, I think that if you look at ECOG 4599, the median survival curve was moved from about 10 months to about 12 months, so about a two-month benefit. And I think to some extent in the non-lung cancer setting, you may have the impression and say, well, so what? That's really not that much of a difference. I think what's more enticing is there's clearly a group of patients that seems to get a dramatic benefit when we incorporate bevacizumab. And, you know, when we look at median survivals, I'm not sure we tell the whole story. I always think of back in the old days, the brain tumor study group used to look at how the top 20% did. And I think that's something that we might need to start thinking about as we get some of these biologic agents, is getting a different endpoint of how the top 20% does or the top 25%, because I think what's more exciting for patients is we're starting to see a few patients who are NED with stage 4 lung cancer a year out from when they started treatment. And in the pre-bevacizumab days, we did not see that as often.
That's interesting about the 20%, because if you think about trastuzumab and breast cancer and HER2-positive disease, about 20%. And, you know, it's been stated that if we didn't have the HER2 marker, when we just look at the whole population, we never would have picked up the effect. But yet, kind of taking that same model, it's interesting. If we looked at the top 20%, presumably they would be the HER2 positive people.
Breast cancer people were certainly much smarter when they started looking at biologic agents in their disease than lung cancer people were. And it took us several large negative trials in unselected patients before we realized we needed to do a better job of identifying patients for our drugs.